Good morning. Today's reading starts in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The word of God for the people of God.
We're going to continue our study on spiritual disciplines. And though sometimes this is a Sabbath is not considered a spiritual discipline, it's something we should be doing, I'll be honest, in today's world, taking a day off is sometimes hard. It's hard to set aside a time and say, today I'm going to do nothing. I mean, it's completely countercultural. Now, things are starting to shift. We're starting to see people who are realizing, you know what? I don't have to work myself to death. I shouldn't have to work all the time, every day. But the problem is, it's not just working. It's answering the question, who's in control of our life? So I think since discipline is something that's hard, discipline is something you know you're trying to work to get used to doing something. I believe, at least in today's world, taking that time to stop and not work, not do, is hard. I'll be honest, this is something I struggle with all of the time. Friday is my typical day. I try to take off to not have any plans. For me, the big thing is just making sure not to put something on my calendar. And you think, well, that should be easy, right? If any of you are recovering workaholics or perfectionists, you know how hard seeing a blank day on your calendar is. Finally, I figured out one thing I could do on it. I put on it day off or Sabbath. So at least I have something there. That way I can say I'm accomplishing something, which is kind of contrary to the purpose. The word Sabbath in Hebrew basically means stop. Pretty simple, right? Stop! Do not pass go, do not collect $200. That last part was me adding on. We are supposed to stop. We see Sabbath in Genesis chapter 2. Interesting thing about this. God, on this day, stopped his creative work. It was the seventh day of the week, and God stopped. I find it interesting that humanity's first day of work, or first day on earth, was a day not to work. Don't break. Take it down. You don't have to fill every moment. This was also before the law. So you can't say, well, that was Old Testament law. No, this is before that. In fact, this was before the fall. In other words, this was before even mankind decided we figured we knew better than God. This is in the very beginning. God ordained this time that we are to pause. Stop. Sabbath is a gift to us. In Mark chapter 27, Jesus says, when talking about the Sabbath, he said to them, Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God has given this to us. It's not something that we have to do. It's a gift. It's something for us to bless us. It's not something that, oh my goodness, I got to get up and got to get that done. If you have, if you've got jobs, you all know how that is sometimes. Some days you may have jobs. Hopefully you have jobs where you're like, hey, it's time to go to work. Y'all laughed. You had those jobs. You have those jobs too? Oh my goodness. I spent 14 years working in the factory, and I don't think I had one day I ever woke up and said, yes, I get to go into Great Dane Trailers today. I get to go in there and hope I don't get killed. Only three times in 14 years, or four was it, that I got taken out on a stretcher. Never my fault. Literally wasn't my fault. with something happening, you know. I still don't remember one accident. But, you know, there was never a time that I woke up and saying, "Woo, I got to go into work today." No, I went in. Sabbath is not supposed to be that. Sabbath is not something that, oh, I got to do it. No, it's something, I get this. I got it. This is a gift. Unfortunately, sometimes we treat it like it's work. And that's what the Pharisees did. That's when they criticized Jesus. They were criticizing because they took it as an obligation, a work you do, which is the contrary, whole opposite of the purpose of that Sabbath. When we look back, Sabbath really gets pushed when we start in the book of Exodus. In the law, and even before the law, we see the Sabbath being instituted. Because the children of Israel lived in a world dominated by Egypt. And Egypt saw productivity as being job one. You need to be productive. You need to get her done. If you don't get it done, you failed. The problem is, people break down when that happens. Egypt expected people to do work 7 days a week. And I don't know about you, but I think we still have that mindset in the world today. Productivity is job one. We want to fill our lives to the full. You say, oh, I'm taking my day off, but let me ask you something. Are you trying to fill your day every day? Yes, it's my day off. So what I'm filling with all the stuff I want to do. And I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this. Y'all notice a pronoun issue there, maybe? Sabbath is supposed to be our day also to reflect upon God, and all of a sudden, we're filling it with what I want. Genesis chapter 16, we see God's first reintroduction in to the children of Israel about Sabbath. And the idea was there, when God instituted, the people were complaining, we don't have food, and God produced manna for them. And of course, if you remember the story, they went out and like, what is this? Well, basically they named it, what is this? And it was, they called it manna. So they picked it up, and there God said, 6 days a week, it'll be out there. On the sixth day, gather twice as much. And on the seventh day, there won't be any there. And the children of Israel, let's see if you all, how much you read your Bible, trusted God completely about it. No, they didn't. On the sixth day, some people just gathered what they needed to like every other day. And then they were hungry on the seventh. Some people, they gathered what they're supposed to and then went out again on the seventh day. And like, what are you doing out here? I can imagine Moses looking there saying, excuse me, what are you doing here? Well, we're out here for manna. Duh, I told you, it's not going to be here. You don't have it. There's no more. Not today. But in this, we see something. We see the fact that the children of Israel had trust that God would produce twice as much on that sixth day. So if now all of a sudden I'm gathering twice as much, I'm not taking from my neighbor. They also have to have faith and trust that they're not going, there's not going to be any out there on the Sabbath, so they're not going to go out and look. It's kind of like sometimes my wife, who I'll tell her, I've locked the doors. She says, I know. What are you doing? Checking the doors. Now, she's got this issue about wanting to do things, so I'm going to pass this on. But, you know, it could be easy to say, like, maybe she doesn't trust you. Because she's checking again. But also, hey, it's not there now. Will it be back tomorrow? Is it coming in tomorrow? Thing is, God's not like Walmart. When he says the shipment's coming in tomorrow, it's coming in tomorrow. We can trust him. And so Sabbath, as much about being stopping, Sabbath is about trusting God is going to provide. That Sabbath day, that seventh day, was supposed to be holy, set apart for him, and trusting him to take care of the details. And trusting that he is going to supply, that he is going to make sure that we have enough funds, that we have enough everything in our lives we need. And not have to think we have to do more to fill in where he will fall short. On the flip side of it, it's also trusting that God can give us a fulfilling life without making sure we're filling our lives with pleasure. Now, there's a lot of good things you can do on the Sabbath, on a day off. But I now tell you, I know some people who are more busy on their day off doing their stuff, and I'm sure none of you have been here before, I know I have. You got back from your vacation and says, now I need a vacation from my vacation. You've done that too. Boy, we got a lot to learn, don't we? But we need to trust that God can give us a fulfilling life. He can meet our needs if we're not filling it all the time with our own labor. So many of us are philaholics. Don't look up the word. It's not out there. I even Googled it. I've made it up, so now it's an official word. St. Charles says philaholic is a word. A philaholic is a person who is obsessed with filling every day with stuff. Usually so they can feel productive. By the way, this is me. I'm a recovering philaholic. So you can feel like you can get the most out of life. I'm not wasting any time. I'm working like the devil. Hold it. Should I be working like the devil? Or should I be working like God? Maybe we've got the wrong role model here. How many of you ever had maybe trying to teach your kids? You're saying some of your kids might say, "Well, I saw so and so do that. I don't care. Don't look what they do. We're doing it this way. You know, use this person as a role model. Don't use that person as a role model." Well, guess what? There's a reason they say work like the devil. Because the devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you're working all the time, if you're busy filling yourself all the time, it will kill you. It will destroy you. Adele Calhoun, in her book, Spiritual Disciplines, wrote a quote, and I just liked it, from Wayne Miller. It says, "Sabbath is not dependent on our own readiness to stop. We do not stop when we are finished. We do not stop when we complete our phone calls, finish our project, or get through the stack of messages, or get out that report that is due tomorrow. We stop because it's time to stop. We stop because it's time. We need to put the brakes on. We need to quit. We need to trust God rather than trust ourselves. Because I don't know about you, I found out a long time ago, God knows a few things more than I do. And if God says I need to take time to stop, then perhaps I need to take time to stop. We can all argue that sometimes we don't always need to listen to our doctors. They don't know everything. But guess what? God does. God does know everything. And God says in His Word that we need to take time to stop. We need to take time to just say, hold it. Now, I'm not trying to say this to lay a guilt trip on anybody. Literally, I have problems with this. I've struggled with it and still struggle with it from time to time. See, have you really struggled with it? Yes. I remember I told you I worked in the factory. Me and my wife had bought a house. And we thought we needed it fixed up. The only thing wrong with it was, everything. I've got pictures to prove it. This house, when we bought it, we thought we got a good deal. We bought it at an auction, which means once you got it, you're stuck with it, buddy. I should have burned it to the ground. We'd have been better off. We'd have been healthier. Long story, maybe you'll hear it later. So we were working 50, 60 hours a week at Great Dane Trailers. I would come home every evening or every morning because we were working swing shift too. I was there at that house. On Sunday morning, we would get up, we'd go to church. After church, we'd bring clothes with us so we could change, so we could stop by the house, so we could work on it. And then we'd work all day on it. Next morning, up, go start the whole process all over again. We were filling every moment. I got at least 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night, sometimes less when I was on swing shift. And after about 9 months of doing this, all of a sudden, on Sunday afternoon, I would walk out of the church and I would get violently ill. I was feeling awful before that, but now all of a sudden I was just... And I'm like, what is happening? And I would be ill all day. By Monday morning, I was able to drag myself up and go back out into the office, out to the factory again. The next week, same thing. After a month of this, I went to my doctor, and he said, he was asking what we're doing, and he said, quit! Your body's telling you, if you don't quit now, I'm going to quit you. I'm going to put the brakes on. And something seriously is going to go wrong with your body that you will not be able to recover from. And so all of a sudden we're like, okay, maybe we need to quit. Duh. Like I said, some of us are really slow. And I'm sometimes that one of those people. And it was a hard lesson because I was like, I have to. We have to. We got to get out of this other house. We're living in two places right now. We're living in one place. We can't live here because we need plumbing and floors and braces underneath the floors and a roof and heat and electrical. And did I mention their house had a few problems? And a roof. Septic. There's a few things wrong. And I figured, I got to fill the time. Yeah, I filled the time. My wife will tell you that that year we spent killing ourselves on that house probably aged us a decade. We are still recovering from it, financially and physically. And 30 years later, that's not something to brag about. That's really not. But we also don't want to use Sabbath as something like the Pharisees did to lay it on us so we have to feel guilty about everything. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, it says, "At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some of the heads of grain and eat them. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath.' He answered, 'Haven't you read what David and his company, his companions did when they were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on the Sabbath day in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words means, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus and his disciples were on a mission from God, just like the priests were on a mission, just like David was on the mission to protect the new king. Oh yeah, he was the new king. And therefore God said, this what's been set aside can be for them. Jesus went on and said, if your ox is stuck in the ditch on the Sabbath, don't you pull it out? If good needs to be done on the Sabbath, you should be doing it. So there's a time to say, yes, today's my day off, but I need to be doing something else because there is a need. By the way, a side note here. If your full life is full all the time, if you need to do something, guess what? You can't. Because you can't put something in when the container's already full. If you got a full cup and you drop something into it, my daughter does this sometimes. She'll fill her coffee cup all the way full, and then she decides she needs to put ice in it. And it's like, you've got this much room at the top. You've got an ice piece about this big. Y'all figured out what's happened, right? And then she's like, I need something to clean up. And of course, I have never done anything like that. We've all, oh, you know, that's not true, right? I've done it on literal scales in other ways that were far more ridiculous. And then we have a mess, right? When we take this time that God has given us, it gives us opportunities to do the things God wants to. And this is not supposed to be about a law. It's supposed to be a gift. That's why Jesus referenced Hosea chapter 6, when he said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. God says, I'm not doing this so you have this law that you have to do, these regulations you have to follow. Here's the 6 points to obeying the Sabbath, and every one of you better do it, that's my way. No, I'm not going to do that. That's between you and God, which is sometimes makes it harder, because now you've got to seek God. Now you've got to ask him what he wants in your life. And then also, you're not responsible to me, you're responsible to God. And personally, I'll tell you what, I'd rather be responsible to a person than to God. Because God has a memory, he doesn't forget. Sometimes people do. But here's the thing, Jesus said, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And if Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, he's the one that should be in charge of it. Therefore, who would we be listening to about what we should be doing on our times off? Him. Would Jesus be wanting me to work this hard? No, we can always turn it around and say, you know, I've actually heard people say this. The devil works all the time, so you better be too. Again, who's our example? Other than healing somebody on the Sabbath, doing good, we see no other time in the New Testament that Jesus broke the Sabbath. Jesus kept it. Jesus kept it. God obeyed it, did it in the beginning. Maybe this is something we need to listen to. But also, again, it tells us, who should we be asking about how we deal our lives, how we fill our lives? God, not ourselves. Now, Paul echoes this idea in Romans chapter 14, verses 5 through 9. Now, some people use this scripture as to say, I don't have to pretend like I need a day off. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. But listen carefully what Paul says. He says, one considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully considered in their own mind, or convinced in their own mind. Whosoever regards as one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. Whoever abstains does to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. For none of us live our lives alone. None of us dies to ourselves. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died, returned to life, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the one who should be our guide. Not rules of men. Not other people's opinions. I don't want to tick off the pastor, so I don't want to be doing this. It's not me. It's not about me. And guess what? Not ourselves. That last one's the big one, I think, for especially in today's world. I decide what I'm going to do on my days. Hold on a second. If you belong to Christ, they all belong to Him. All of them. Not just one, not just two. All of them belong to Him. So you need to be seeking His guidance on what He wants you to do on every day of your life. That seventh day, that Sabbath day, is taking one day out of seven, resting it from being productive, and honoring God with it. And that key for it is trusting that God's going to provide for you when you aren't productive. Who's the key for you to succeed in life? If it's you, you're betting on the wrong horse. Because guess what? Many of you already know. Life happens. Life happens. If you're the chief cook and bottle washer, taking care of everything, and something happens to you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You are. It can be scary. Because we have times when it's not going to work right. We have times when our bodies are going to give out, when things are going to happen. You know, they tell you, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Prepare for a rainy day. Because you know what? One day, it's going to rain. Even in the desert, it rains occasionally. Something is going to happen. So you need to be trusting God and not yourself. A couple of side notes here. Before the adoption of the Roman calendar, Sabbath day wasn't on Saturday. It was just the next seventh day. So, how do you know it was Sabbath? Well, we took a Sabbath, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Ah, it's Sabbath again. So for those people who say Sabbath has to be Saturday, no. Not really. It was placed on the Sabbath because Jesus was raised on the eighth day. And since they had set up the calendar, Saturday was on the seventh, Sunday was on the ninth, and they said Jesus raised on Sunday, then they set the calendar accordingly. What does this have to do with us? A Sabbath day is a day dedicated to God and how God would want it. What does God want us to do? It isn't a day, again, about being productive. And it isn't a day about forcing somebody else to do something you don't want to do. That was another part of the Sabbath. God said, you take the day off, and so do your servants, your animals, and everything else. In other words, you can't say, I'm going to obey God, and I'm going to take a Sabbath, but I'm going to make you work like a dog today. No. If you weren't planning to go home and prepare food and eat on Sunday, and I don't know about you, I like eating on Sunday, then don't go out to eat and expect somebody else to fix you your food. Now, if you were going to go home and make a whole meal for yourself, then, you know, go out. But you have to decide in your heart what is honoring and what is not honoring to God. It's not about, again, what my rules are. The thing is, when we do this, studies have shown when people honestly take days off, honestly say stop, they're healthier, they're actually more productive. It's countercultural, and it just seems illogical. How do you become more productive? Be less productive. That's like saying 3 - 1 = 4. Except, guess what? Productivity in our lives isn't based on mathematics. It's based on God's principles. But I want us to return to Isaiah 58, something we read from last week. God talked about how should we be fasting. But at the end of this chapter, he says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and doing as you please on my holy day, again, it's what are we doing? Are we doing it for us or for God? If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way and doing as you please or speaking idle words, you may think, well, I'm good about taking my day off, but I'm on the phone gossiping. Then, he said, then when you do what's right, then you'll find joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast, I like this part, on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. As I said last week, God says, I've spoken. Now you've got to decide what you're going to do. Is it easy? No. Is it hard to change? Yes. But I firmly believe when we line ourselves up and our lives with the way God wants us to do, we will be amazed at what happens. We're going to get ready to stand and sing, but just a moment, I want to pray. Dear Father, I ask you that, Lord, this not be a guilt, not be a burden upon us, but, Lord, an opportunity for us to learn from you, to grow closer to you, and to, Lord, to truly rest in you. So, Lord, as we join our voices together, remind us that you are Lord of the Sabbath and that we can praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. That you be with each one today as they leave this place. Let your spirit go with them, and Lord, let them find rest in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, and go with God. Mm-hmm.